Hello everyone, I'm Roy Matora, an author and podcaster, and you are again listening to Captain Roy's Rusty Rocket Radio Show, the UK geek science fiction, fantasy and horror podcast, episode 533, taped on Wednesday the 10th of April 2024 at 23:19:02. Yes, hello again. I am a bit snuffly, nothing new there. Don't know if it's partly psychosomatic, but every time the mic comes on, my nose gets all blocked up, so I might have to take a snuffle break sometime during the show, probably before I do the plot outline. We'll see how it goes. The pleasure of tea, the beverage, is referenced in the story I'm going to talk about tonight. Oh yeah, what am I doing? Tonight, we are rejoining our classic Doctor Who revisit with the next story, and that is The Awakening from 1984. That's the story I'm going to be doing. Let's get back to tea. Yes, I'm easing myself back into this after more than a week, 10 or 11 days since publishing the last episode that wasn't a revisit. In fact, we haven't done a revisit for quite a while. And so I plan to take this one easy and not storm my way through the entire episode for a change. Talk a bit slower. And maybe partake of a refreshment or two or three. Not necessarily tea. In fact, not tea. I have, slightly to the left of me, a chilled glass of fake Red Bull. I think it's the Asda version KX. Like all these fake versions of Red Bull, it is also urine-coloured, which sounds delightful. It tastes okay, though. It's fairly Red Bull-ish. Though I prefer the Tesco brand. Red Bull itself, yeah, it's okay. But there doesn't seem to be much difference between the three. I also have a mostly eaten Cadbury's Swiss roll further to my left on my desk, and I am sitting down today. So that also means I'll need to take a break at some point, so I don't do my back in from all this sitting down, which doesn't do my back much good, but standing up, even using my famous standing stick, can also be painful. I'll see how it goes. We'll just wing it. I do have quite some plans to relate to you at the end of the show, so stick around for that if you want to know where this podcast is going in the near future. Nothing drastic, just an outline of episodes that I plan to do. Okay. The Awakening from 1984. Let's talk production. Notable cast. Well, yeah, okay. The obvious, Peter Davison as the Doctor, Janet Fielding as Tegan Yavanka, and Vislo Turlo is played by Mark Strickson. There is also a chap whose character name is Colonel Ben Wolseley. He is played by Welsh actor Glyn Houston, who you may not recognise by name, but you will certainly recognise him by features. He's in so much British film and television. He's got a big, tall, blocky type head, I suppose. Very solidly featured. I had a look at what he had done before, but I really couldn't recognise that much, but I know I've seen his face in loads of stuff. The director was Michael Owen Morris, who maybe I should have looked up, but I didn't. One second. Ah yes, IMDb says he has done loads of stuff. I can see, scrolling down the list, he has worked with Peter Davison after this particular story in Campion. He directed 4 episodes. And apart from that, well, just loads of British television, including EastEnders. As for the writer, this time it is a chap called Eric Pringle, who only worked on this Doctor Who story. He was commissioned to write it and then got into a little strife with the editor, Eric Sorwood, a person who has had, let's say, a fractious relationship with John Nathan Turner. The producer was John Nathan Turner. As for locations, there was Shapwick and other locations in Dorset. There was also the village of Martin in Hampshire, as well as BBC Television Centre, Shepherd's Bush, all in 1983. By the way, there was some model work and effects done for the exploding church near the end of this story. I don't know where that was done. I couldn't find anything. Broadcast. This was story 131, serial 2, season 21, following on from Warriors of the Deep, which I talked about in episode 526. That is, my episodes, not the Doctor Who episodes. Oh, it doesn't matter. It consisted of 2 around 25-minute episodes and was first broadcast from the 19th of January to the 20th of January 1984. As for media releases, there was a Target novelisation by the writer, Eric Pringle, that came out in 1985. It came out on VHS videotape, along with Frontios, in 1997, and on a DVD titled Earth Files, along with The Gunfighters, in 2011. Zeitgeist. What was happening in the UK on the day of its first broadcast? Well, we had the Chirpy Pipes of Peace by Paul McCartney, that song, which preceded the far more energetic and entertaining Frankie Goes to Hollywood's Relax by a few days. Very interesting contrast. Pipes of Peace, I had a listen before the podcast, seems very old-fashioned. And Frankie Goes to Hollywood's Relax was very, very 80s. Yes, interesting contrast. And now, before we go into the story, I'm going to take a little break to rearrange things here. Everything's just out of sorts. I feel out of sorts. I'm starting to itch for some strange reason. I don't know. Everything just doesn't feel quite right at the moment. Let me take a short break and I'll be back. Hello, I'm back again. Standing up again with my standing stick. I've bacchanized myself up the nose. That should be killing two birds with one stone. Snuffliness and the allergies. Let's see. What else do I have to tell you? Oh, yes. During that break, that would have been the place where I put in the audio clip. I didn't do that, so let's run the clip here, if there's going to be a clip. And there is a strong possibility this time round that there won't be a clip. That is because I might put this episode up on YouTube. I don't think it will do that well, because audio-only podcasts up on YouTube don't do that well. We'll see. We'll see how I feel about the clip, about YouTube, about everything. Okay, sorry, I've gone off on a tangent again.
What is going on?
A celebration. On the 13th of July, 1643, the English Civil War came to Little Hodcombe.
Come and have a look at this!
Dr. The Malice.
It's growing stronger. Hold on.
What I'm going to do now is what I always do, and just run you through the story and then tell you what I thought. A bit of trivia. A bit of extra waffle towards the end, just light conversation. Let's start. After a rough journey in the TARDIS, something always goes wrong in the TARDIS, so that Tegan can visit her grandpa in Little Hodcombe. Is that right? Hodcombe? I wrote that down. Okay, I can't remember that village name being mentioned. The TARDIS arrives in 1984 in a derelict church with a wooden lectern that has strange carvings that seem to depict a crude depiction of the devil. And there's also a weird crack in the wall. Our friends are soon captured by a bunch of men dressed in Civil War era uniforms. They are taken to their leader, Sir George Hutchinson, a local magistrate, who tells them that his village is partaking of an English Civil War Battle of Little Hodcombe reenactment. They seem, the reenactors that is, rather robust, shall we say? There's threats and pointing of pistols. They seem to be taking this whole thing far too seriously. And so the Doctor escapes, returns to the church, which is where he parked the TARDIS, and bumps into a 17th century peasant stranded in time. What happens is there's this rumbling behind a wall, and you can hear the sounds of perhaps battle, and part of the wall breaks down and this peasant guy comes through. The Doctor also finds a giant, sinister, living stone face behind a crack, another crack that is, there's lots of cracks. Sorry. He realizes that the violent reenactment, after having a conversation with this peasant, is charging up an alien creature called the Malice via this statue-like machine. At least that's my interpretation of what happens. There's a lot of rough stuff, and the dialogue doesn't really seem that clear about what's going on. Perhaps Eric Pringle was right about Eric Sword's rewriting. Events get out of hand as Tegan is forced to wear this dress so that she can become the May Queen, who the reenactors will honour with a cart ride through the village, and that will end in her being tied to a stake and burnt alive. Well, until she's dead. And Hutchinson also says that the final battle will be a real one. The Doctor and Jane, a teacher, fail to change his mind, but they do manage to convince his second-in-command, Colonel Ben Wolseley, to see sense. And he does. He helps them escape and is their ally for the rest of this adventure. Tegan is rescued, and then the Doctor uses the TARDIS to divert power from the gargoyle-like Malice, which begins to die. You actually see a lizard-like creature inside the TARDIS now, not this big face machine statue thing in the church. And that is it. That is the end of the troubles for Little Hodcombe. If indeed that is the village's name. I can't remember. I think it is. I don't think it's a real village. I think it's a fictional one. And those places that I mentioned and the location stood in for that. What were they? Shapwick and other locations in Dorset, as well as Martin in Hampshire. And let's see. As the creature begins to die, they leave behind the church, which explodes. After that, we are at the end of the adventure. Tegan still wants to visit her grandfather. She tells the doctor that, and Turlough would also quite like to stay, as Turlough really enjoys tea. Not, as Will says, ale, but tea, and the doctor concurs. Turlough says, "I quite miss that brown liquid they drink here." Before I go on to thoughts, I'm going to need another break, I'm afraid. So, see you in a moment. More sorting of Roy out to do. Back in a sec. Oh my god, what a fiasco. Sorry about that. I'm back again. I've probably overdosed on Beconase up the nose. Oh, okay. And more urine-coloured drink. Where are we? Oh yes, tea. On to thoughts then. That great big crack. Now, where have we seen that before? Well, it's of course very reminiscent of Stephen Moffat's New Who's the 11th Hour and the big sinister head of malice behind the crack is quite like a gargoyle version of Russell T. Davies' Face of Bo. Not much of a stretch there, I'm sure that's the origins of those two things. And then when you take into account the other big crack, the one that Will stumbles through, we have the whole crack in time thing. Yeah. It is amazing how much New Who steals from Old Who. And let's just talk about Will for a moment. The timid 17th century peasant dullard. I'm trying to be nice by not calling this country bumpkin the village idiot. Basically, he's a young, ye olde English version of Cletus the slack-jawed yokel from The Simpsons. Am I being unkind? Anyway, this chap is caught in the time shenanigans and zapped to the 80s, whereupon he uselessly faffs about until he's rescued by the Doctor. On the other hand, he does help the Doctor understand the nature of the malice. And he does seem harmless and fairly affable, and he likes his ale. Maybe he's a nice chap, but he did strike me as just a little bit thick. It seems that the writer Eric Pringle is taking a gentle pop at the Civil War reenactors. That is, silly grown adults, mostly men, getting over-enthused about bashing each other over the head with swords and pretending to shoot each other and running about like they're playing cowboys and Indians. As a very short-term medieval reenactor myself, I'd say Eric Pringle understands the milieu. Some reenactors, like Colonel Ben Wolseley, are perfectly sane. They just want a bit of fun. Others, like Sir George Hutchinson, and I've met some of them, are completely balmy. Where I fall into that range, that spectrum of madness, is debatable. Reenactment, I don't know how big it is in other countries. I'm pretty sure it's fairly big in America, especially Civil War reenactments, different Civil War. And They have lots of Ren fairs, Renaissance fairs. Well, not really Renaissance. As far as historical accuracy goes, in the UK, Civil War reenactments and medieval reenactments and Viking Age reenactments are quite big. Everyone wants to be a Viking. Everyone wants to be an invader. Interesting. And of course you have people dressing up as Roman legionaries. Yeah, Eric Pringle has got us sussed. Posh people, poshos, doing whatever the hell they want in the countryside, like the magistrate, Sir George Hutchinson, a corrupt local magistrate who can do what he wants because he is a magistrate, and the leader of the war games as well. All this stuff echoes recent news of police allowing illegal hunts to go on in the UK. They seem to have this special arrangement with the wealthy. The burning of the May Queen is a nonsense cooked up for this story to inject a little extra peril into an otherwise humdrum script. May Queens, as far as I know, were never sacrificed. They were never burnt at the stake. I suppose they were loosely copying the Celtic Wicker Man burning ritual from the Wicker Man, which is quite a different thing. I think the May Queen may be more related to Roman traditions, perhaps. Maybe there's a Celtic thing in there, I don't know. I didn't look this stuff up, and it's a long time since I've read up on my mythology. I'm a bit behind, I'm afraid. The whole point of this trip was for Tegan to meet her granddad. But when she eventually does meet him, his part is very minor. That's a pity, I thought, as her granddad is a friendly, tweedy historian who I'm sure would have struck up an interesting rapport with the doctor. What historian wouldn't want to meet a very long-lived time traveller? I don't know, I would. I'd be a bit jealous. And then I'd ask to become a companion, and I'd probably be politely declined. Oh, God. How did I spiral that into depression in the space of, like, 3 seconds? What is wrong with me? Sorry. The Doctor does, however, agree to stay for a while at the end, so we're left to imagine what happens. But I'm sure they would have lots of conversations. And eventually Tegan would become a little annoyed that her granddad is spending more time with the Doctor than with her. Oh, maybe he's a nicer chap than that. Maybe they would share the attention. I don't know. I'm going a bit too deep into that. Quite honestly, regarding this adventure, I don't know what else to say. I don't know how to feel about this one. I don't think it's bad. It isn't. It's Doctor Who. It's always quite good. It just didn't do anything for me. And I had to struggle to come up with talking points. So, is it worth a watch? Yes, of course it is. All Doctor Who is worth a watch. Is it going to get you any further forward in understanding the Doctor's path through the entire arc of Doctor Who? No, if you miss this one, it probably wouldn't matter. But if you did miss this one, or you haven't seen this one, please go and see it. Simply so that you can comment on it and talk to me about it and tell me what you think. See, there is a reason to watch it. Trivia. Visual effects designer Tony Harding, famous as the designer of K9, along with another chap, a model maker called Richard Gregory, created the Malus, that is the great big stone head, and also the lizard-like gargoyle creature that ends up in the TARDIS. Tony Harding said it had to look like a gargoyle and faintly resemble the devil. And that quote is from a Radio Times interview. And that is it for my revisit of Doctor Who The Awakening from 1984. I hope you enjoyed my revisit. I hope you enjoyed The Awakening if you have seen it. And if you haven't seen it, like I said, go and see it. Tell me what you thought. It's only 2 episodes long, so it won't take you long. Now we are in the after show section. I don't have that much to talk about. Only to let you know of my plans regarding the podcast. Don't worry, the podcast is still carrying on. I just wanted to let you know what's going to be happening in the next few weeks. After the usual variety of pods that I do, that is this one, and then probably a Hammer House of Horror one, and then a Geek Zine, Geek Life ramble, I plan to consecutively visit Classic Doctor Who, taking us to the end of Peter Davison's term as the Doctor. And his last adventure will be, of course, the Caves of Androzani, with that brilliant villain, Sharaz Jek. And finally, I will cover Shuti Gatwa's first season premiere. If you're wondering when that is, I've got a quote here. Doctor Who is set to make an explosive return on 11 May, premiering on BBC iPlayer at 00:00 on Saturday before arriving on BBC One later. That quote is from the BBC. Their website, somewhere on their website. To what extent I manage to stay this course is anyone's guess, because I'm the captain from hell, but that is the general idea. As I've said on numerous occasions, I'm not a New Who podcaster. I talk about classic Doctor Who. However, I am there for the big ones, and the premiere is a big one. I think what I'll do is I'll watch the first one and then maybe talk about the end of the first season when that happens. I don't think I'll be covering every single New Who story. It is interesting, that quote. Well, it says, what was it again? Explosive thingamidoodle? Set to make an explosive return. Okay, I wonder what that's about. Yes, there are probably trailers, but as you know, I hate trailers and I'm not interested in knowing. So if you do know anything about Shuti Gatwa's first episode on the 11th of May, make sure you do not tell me. I do not want to know. I want to come at that fresh and excited. No spoilers, please. And that also means I'm not going to be talking about it until after it's already finished. Let's see, is there anything else to talk about? No, that's it, really. So, as usual, you can find me, Roy Mathur, R-O-Y-M-A-T-H-U-R, at roymathur.com. Please review, rate, support, and recommend the show to a friend or mortal enemy. There it is. There's a sinister pause, the menacing pause. The time at the end of the show is... Wait a minute, am I ready to go? Yeah, I think I've talked about everything, that is it. So, yeah, before I tell you the time at the end of the show, have a good weekend. I'll probably upload tomorrow, and there'll be another one. And then we've got loads in the near future. So there is lots to talk about, lots for you to listen to. Please subscribe. And back to the time at the end of the show. The time at the end of the show is 00:07:17. As now unto the end of time itself, I thank you for listening, and bye-bye for now. Bye!